Welcome to the Route 42 podcast. I'm Pastor Chris Cahill, and I'm pastor of Christ the King Lutheran Church. We're located on U.S. Route 42, north of Lodi, Ohio. The Route 42 podcast is the place to hear recordings of recent sermons at Christ the King, and sometimes special conversations with our members and friends. The Serving Challenge author Zach Zender notes that the Gospels tell us that when Jesus saw the needs that people came to him with, he not only had compassion on them, he also put that compassion into action by healing some, feeding some, cleansing some from leprosy, casting out some demons, raising some from the dead, and forgiving many. You or I might not have the divine power of Jesus to do many of the things he did, but we can still do something. What do you think that might be? Let's listen. Let's listen to God's word this morning. The first reading is from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark in chapter 14, verses 3 through 8. This takes place during the week just before Jesus was crucified. While Jesus was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages be given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them any time you want. But you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial." That's the first reading this morning. And then we have this section from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians in chapter 2. He says to them and to us, "You were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. And like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this, not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." This is God's word for us this morning. Grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and from the Holy Spirit as always. Amen. To review quickly, this word scars is up here because the letters each stand for a different word. The S is for sin, C for confession, A for absolution or forgiveness, R for restoration, and the last S is for sanctification, or how do we live a holy life now that we know that because of our sin, Jesus went to the cross, paid the price, and atoned for our sin, redeemed us and set us free and sanctified and saved us. How do we live a holy life? During this season of Lent, we're thinking about this thing called the Serving Challenge, the challenge to actually serve other people because Jesus served us in love with His life and His death on the cross. Now, I say that way, but that is just really exceptional, what Jesus did. It's exceptional to say that Jesus came from heaven to earth to live among us, to be a human being, to take on human flesh, so that He could go to the cross, atone for our sins, redeem us and save us, and bring us into heaven. Here's why it's exceptional. Who does that? I mean, in the last couple of weeks, there have been a couple of interesting things happen in the news. In the last couple of weeks, it's been the first anniversary of a train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. And you heard about that on the news. Just a terrible thing, lots of people displaced and so forth. So it's the first anniversary of it, and President Biden came, and he looked around, visited the place, had some conversations with people, shook some hands, made a speech, and then he went back home to the White House. That's what you'd expect, right? Because, you know, he's not only concerned about East Palestine, he's concerned about the border, he's concerned about Ukraine, he's concerned about all kinds of stuff he's got to pay attention to, all these kind of things. And he's only the one man, even though he's got a whole bunch of advisors. So you'd expect that's all the time he would have to go back then later. Well, this past week, he went down to the southern border in Texas to explore that a little bit. Went down for a day, made some speeches, shook some hands, looked around, and then went back home to the White House. In the meantime, former President Trump also was there the same day, at the same time in a little bit different part of the border, and he looked around, he made some speeches, shook some hands, and then he went back to his home, whichever one he chose, and that was that. That's the way it always is with presidents of the United States. They come in for a day, they check it out, and they go back home. That's almost always the way it is with members of Congress or the Senate. They come in, they stay for a couple of days, they go to a hotel in the evening, and then go back home at the end of a week. I don't know if I've ever heard a news report of anybody like that, whether it's a congressman, senator, or a president, who has said, you know what, I'm going to go to where the immigrants are coming in. Get me a sleeping bag. I'll sleep under a bridge with them for a week. I don't know that anybody's ever done that. I don't know that anybody visiting the site of a toxic train derailment has ever said, if there's somebody in this town who's willing to put me up in their guest bedroom for the night, for a couple of nights, I'll be willing to do that and just hang with them for the week. Who does that? Certainly not leaders of nations and, you know, lawmakers. They don't do that. They've got a whole bunch of other things to do. But here's what's exceptional about Jesus. Jesus sat on the throne next to the Father in heaven, ruling over the whole universe, making sure that planets go in their orbits and stars go in and do whatever things they're supposed to do, making sure that sparrows didn't fall without them noticing it, making sure that the tides happen, making sure that the seasons go around on this earth, dealing with all of this important stuff. And if they weren't dealing with it, I don't know where we'd be. But Jesus gave that all up to become a human being. Literally, to become a human being, to be conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He became a human being, and he lived as a human being, as one of us on this earth, for over 30 years. Who does that? Who comes down from heaven? He came down to be one of us, to be part of us, because God loved the world so much that he wanted to make sure that the damage that sin caused would be taken care of once and for all. And the way they did that was for Jesus to come. God loved the world so much. So Jesus came because he loved us. And he lived among us for 30 plus years before he went to the cross. I don't think the Father looked around in heaven and said, hey, Jesus, you know, it's a mess down there. Why don't you go and visit it for a day and come back and report? He didn't do that. Or why don't you go on a fact-finding tour? He said, no, live there for 30 of our years. That's just incredible and exceptional. That's what Jesus did out of love for us. And then he went to the cross. I'm going to tell you this, and I'm not going to tell you this to compare myself favorably with Jesus. I'm just going to tell you this so that you can say, well, that's not what Jesus did at all, Pastor Cahill. So we've been here in Lodi for 30 years plus. Okay. In fact, I think we've been here in Lodi longer than Jesus was alive when he was on the earth. But here's how the difference is. I didn't come here because I loved you. I'll just say it that way. And this congregation didn't call me to come and be their pastor because you loved me. At the very beginning, there was very little love between the two of us. We didn't know each other. We didn't know each other. It took me a while to learn your names, some of you faster than others. But, you know, it just takes a while when people get into new situations before they become comfortable enough to start saying, we love each other. That didn't happen right away. But God loved us so much that he sent Jesus. That love was already there from God's direction toward us before Jesus even came. Now I have to say, after 30 plus years, I think, that it's safe to say that we love you guys and you love us, I hope. I think it's safe to say that. But Jesus loved us, and that's why he came. There was no other reason. He loved us. And he became a human being to suffer and die, to erase the damage sin had done to the whole creation and to us, to serve us with his very life. Here's the result of that. Did you catch that in reading from Ephesians this morning? It said this: God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly places. Even when we were dead in transgressions and sins, God loved us so much that Jesus came and he seated us with Christ and put us in the heavenly places with him. Listen, here's what that means. We look forward to the day when Jesus will raise up our dead bodies and bring us into heaven to live with him forever. We look forward to that. But as far as God is concerned, it's already a done deal. He has already raised us up with Christ. He has already seated us in the heavenly places. We're waiting for it to happen, but as far as the Father is concerned, it's a done deal. We're already there. He loves us that much. And his Son came as evidence of that love. Jesus came into this world, and he just continuously poured out his love. We talk about his suffering and death on the cross as the sign of his love, and it is. But he loved people so much otherwise throughout his life. This week we're talking about action as a sign of serving. And one of the lessons in the Serving Challenge book that many of us have says that apparently many times when the Gospels say that Jesus was compassionate, it says it in this way: Jesus had compassion for those people and something else. He saw people, he had compassion for them, and he healed them. He had compassion for them, and he raised somebody from the dead. He had compassion for them, and he forgave their sins and then healed them. He had compassion for them, for 5,000 plus of them, and he fed them. So again and again, he had compassion and showed it by the things that he did. He loved us and had compassion for us and showed it to us not only by dying on the cross, and that's the big one, but by all these other things. He has compassion on us and shows his compassion and his love for us by all the things he continues to do for us, by continuing to feed us every day through the work and hands of farmers and food processing people and so forth. He continues to heal us through the work of doctors and nurses and nursing homes and hospitals and surgeons and everybody else. He continues to do all these things for us all the time. That's how much he loves us. And God has made us his children through the work that Jesus did. That plus his suffering and death on the cross, so that our sins could be erased, so it could be washed away, and we could be his children forever. So, Jesus was compassionate and did these things. We are his children. We are saved. We're redeemed. And then what happens? What do we do? That's the part where action comes in. The Bible in the book of James is a great one for this because it talks about actions for faith. Faith without actions is dead, James said. I could give you this nice example of what that means. But I remember years ago when I was in college, when we actually had books. There was a book that was called The Gospel According to Peanuts. And it was a guy who had taken a whole bunch of Peanuts comic strips, you know, the one with Snoopy and those guys. And he had said, these are illustrations of these various points in the gospel. So the idea that our faith could outflow into actions. There's one cartoon in there that really has stuck with me over the years. So the first frame is Snoopy sitting in a snowstorm and the snow is coming down on him and he's shivering. Linus and Charlie Brown come up from the distance and they look over there and they go, oh, look at Snoopy over there. He looks really cold. Let's do something for him. So they go up there and in frame three, they say to him, be of good cheer, Snoopy, Charlie Brown says. And Linus says, yes, be of good cheer. And in the last frame, they're walking off. Snoopy is still in the snowstorm. He's still shivering, but now he's got question marks in his little thought bubbles. Like, what was that all about? So they did something, but maybe they felt good about it, you know? Let's tell Snoopy, be of good cheer. But it really didn't do much for Snoopy. And so when we start talking about how does our faith display itself in the world. Yeah, we're wonderful Christians. But what do people actually see when we do these things? Well, I'm going to give you a couple of examples. It actually happened here in this very room last Sunday. And what I want to do is I want to read this to you. As a result of what happened in this very room last Sunday, I wrote an email to the Red Letter Challenge team. That's the group that does the whole all the challenges together. And I told them what happened. I put the letters, the emails, on our church website, and this is just a printout from the website. On there I say, if you were in either one of our worship services on Sunday, February 25th, or watched the videos on Facebook or on YouTube, you might have had the joy of witnessing with me two extraordinary, spontaneous demonstrations of our values at Christ the King and serving. And our values are on the page that has of the worship folder that has the lessons on it. It's that little box that says the values of Christ the King are caring, acceptance, family, and joy. Those are our values. We worked on those a couple years ago, so this was long before we got to the serving challenge. But anyway, in fact, I shared these videos with the team at Red Letter Challenge in the following email. This is still me writing on the website. I did this on Monday. I said this. Hi, Red Letter team. God is doing some great and tender things here at Christ the King. So we're into the serving challenge, and the focus on yesterday's worship was availability. At the end of our early service, instead of our elder coming up to put the altar candles out, two of the young girls came up instead. The one was about 12 years old, and her little sister is about 3. And seems to take her behavioral cues from Tigger. No worries, though. They did great. And I put the Facebook link there for the Facebook recording of it, and they come up at about minute 58 on there. Later, at the end of our later service, two guys came up to put the candles out. And again, I gave them the link to the YouTube video. And I said, in the video, the big guy with the brown shirt is Dwayne, who's one of our regular ushers and has a heart as big as All Outdoors. The guy in the blue hoodie is Brett. He's got some significant special needs and is sharing a house with our music guy, Patrick, who also has special needs and lives in an electric wheelchair. This is only the second time Brett has come with Patrick to one of our worship services, but Dwayne had this notion to lead Brett by the hand to the altar and help him hold the candle lighter to put the candles out. And you can see that they did great, too. And afterward, Brett got quite a few thank yous and fist bumps from the folks after that. And so did Dwayne. And I continued, I don't really think these have anything much to do with me preaching about availability last week. Both of them are just kind of how we roll at Christ the King. But don't you just love it when a plan comes together? And I said, God bless us everyone, Pastor Chris Cahill. And now, then I added, here's the email I got back from the Red Letter Challenge team a day later. Wow, Pastor Chris, that was truly heartwarming to see. It's incredible to witness how God is moving and working through your community at Christ the King. Thank you for sharing those beautiful moments with us. Watching those young girls and then Dwayne and Brett stepping up to put out the candles truly encapsulates the spirit of availability and service. It's evident that everyone at Christ the King is wholeheartedly embracing the call to serve and support one another, regardless of age or ability. Seeing Brett receive such warm appreciation from the congregation is touching and speaks volumes about the inclusive and loving environment you all have cultivated. You're right. It's not just about preaching a message on availability. It's about living it out in our everyday actions, just like what we witnessed in those moments. It's moments like these that remind us of the beauty and power of community and the incredible things that can happen when we come together with open hearts and willing hands. Thank you again for sharing this with us, Pastor Chris. We're truly inspired and encouraged by what's happening in Christ the King. Blessings. And then there's a PS in a separate email, Zach Zender, who is the writer of all this stuff, added, "Wow, that is beautiful and tender and amazing. Thanks, CC, for sending this over." And love the scars word up there, too. I'm blessed by this morning. So there it is. Jesus said to those people at that dinner what it says in Deuteronomy, "The poor you'll always have with you." That was not something that Jesus said to blow off the idea of helping the poor. That was something that Deuteronomy said that basically is this: every day there will be opportunities for us to do something for another person, for each of us. Keep your eyes and ears open, please, for those opportunities so that others might be blessed by the love of Jesus through you. And the peace of God that passes all our understanding will keep our hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This episode of the Route 42 podcast was recorded live during a Sunday worship service at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Lodi, Ohio on March 3, 2024. You can find out more about us and sign up for our email list at our website, www.christthekinglodi.org. Check out the show notes for details. God bless you, and thank you for listening.